I don't know, fifth Sunday in Lent. That means that this Wednesday is the fifth Wednesday evening Lenten service. It will be at 7 p.m. We will have a Lenten dinner. Before that, it will start at 6 o'clock p.m. So please come join us for some soup and some fellowship, and also for a service at 7 p.m. And next Sunday is Palm Sunday. That's right. So we have Palm Sunday next Sunday, and next Sunday I will announce you to you the Holy Week schedule, which basically looks like church on Thursday at 7, church on Friday at 7, church on Saturday at 7, church on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. as we celebrate Easter. But we're not there yet. I would tell you where the church services are at 7 p.m. on all of those nights, but I don't know where they are. They're not here because we had all of the Wednesdays during Lent. So, there is a VBS meeting after church today. All right. So, at 11:30. All right. So, if you have any, if you're helping with VBS, 11:30 today after church. Any other announcements this morning? Seeing and he won.
Just so everybody knows, our carnival season's over with. We came in second place in our division. Tomorrow night is our banquet. We didn't do so well in the tournament, but we had fun. That was the important thing. We had fun all season long. And Tuesday is our city employee appreciation luncheon, so, and it's from noon to 5, noon to 3 or 4, or something like that. So if anybody would like to help us serve city employees during that time, please feel free to come and join us. Thank you.
All right. We will do a noisy offering, but we will do it during the opening hymn, and then after that, the children will be dismissed for jam. So, please stand as you are able to do so for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us keep silence for a moment in the presence of God and of one another for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Children are now released to go to jam if they wish to do so. You guys going? Yeah?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, Can these bones live? I answered, Oh Lord, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from the graves, O my people. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from the graves, O people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 130 responsively with me. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. If you, O Lord, shall mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? I will wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. The second reading is from Romans, the 8th chapter. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. You're like, that's not what it said in the bulletin. I may have cut out a few verses. A few? Most of chapter 11. Don't worry. Tom, you need to get your stopwatch ready to start and stop during the sermon, because I'll go back and read some of what I skipped. WWJD. What would Jesus do? It became really I say 20 years ago, but 20 years ago was like when I was 19, and it was probably further back than that. So it was probably like 30 years ago. This WWJD, what would Jesus do, became really popular on t-shirts, but especially on bracelets, those little rubber bracelets. And I have a question. Who do you think sold more of these bracelets, Jesus or Lance Armstrong? Probably Lance Armstrong. But I'm going to say something that's not all that popular right now, probably. I don't really like WWJD with a question mark. I don't like to ask that question all the time. This idea that we should use Jesus as a role model for our lives, it can be helpful, I guess. Should I give money to that homeless person? What would Jesus do? Probably yes. Should I go to church today? Of course yes. Should I mow my grass just because my neighbor mowed his grass? I don't know, maybe not as helpful to use the WWJD. Should I get the pepperoni or deluxe? Should I eat the last cookie that's been on the plate for the last 10 minutes that no one else wants to eat because they're trying to be polite? What would Jesus do? He would eat the cookie. This phrase, while I know it can be at times helpful, I think it reduces Jesus to something less than Jesus. Because Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is the Son of God. It reduces Jesus to less than the Messiah. Besides, we don't need WWJD when we have WWTTCTUTD, do we? That just flows right off the tongue. What is that, Lydia? It is, what would the Ten Commandments tell us to do? We don't need Jesus to tell us what to do. We have the laws. Right? If I modeled my life and my ministry solely off of WWJD, I would have failed clinical pastoral education. And you would fire me for terrible pastoral care. Today, Jesus gets word that Lazarus, his friend, is sick. What would Jesus do? Apparently, ignore the call to go see his sick friend. But Lazarus is not just his friend, right? Lazarus is the brother of two of his other friends, Mary and Martha. They asked him to go see Lazarus because he was sick. And he didn't visit Lazarus, his sick friend, and he didn't comfort and console Martha and Mary in their brother's sickness. That is textbook failure for clinical pastoral education. Jesus instead says, meh, it doesn't lead to death. And he stayed where he was for two more days. The first rule of pastoral care is show up. The first rule of care is show up. Whether you're a pastor or a friend or a daughter or a loved one or a fellow parishioner, just show up. And Jesus doesn't do this. WWJD, he stays where he was for two more days. We should not follow Jesus' example here, should we? WWJD, I would argue, in this situation, does not apply. And if you stop reading the gospel where I did today, there is not much good news to be found. Jesus was given the opportunity to visit and probably heal his friend Lazarus, but he refuses. And if we're just looking at Jesus as a great moralistic leader that lived 2,000 years ago, a model for how we too should live, we find in Jesus a man that doesn't visit his friend on his deathbed. A friend that he could have possibly healed. He isn't there to console Mary and Martha either. What would Jesus do? Apparently be a terrible friend. Now, we should probably read the other 38 verses of this gospel that I skipped, because Jesus, he doesn't look so great right now. I'm going to have to throw away my WWJD bracelet, just like I had to with my Live Strong bracelet when we found out that Lance Armstrong was jacked on roids. After 2 days, this is when you hit the stopwatch, Tom. After 2 days, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." They said, "Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you, and you're going back?" Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in daylight doesn't stumble because there's plenty of light from the sun. Walking at night, he might very well stumble because he can't see what he's doing." He said these things and then announced, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up." The disciples said, "Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine." Jesus was talking about death, while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. Then Jesus became explicit. "Lazarus died. And I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You are about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him." That's when Thomas, the one called the twin, said to his companions, "Come along. We might as well die with him." Pause. I'm not sure what that means. I have no idea, and we're not going to touch it today. Unpause. When Jesus finally got there, he found Lazarus already dead for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only a couple of miles away, and many of the Jews were visiting Mary and Martha, sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him. Mary remained in the house. Martha said, "Master, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you." Jesus said, "Your brother will be raised up." Martha replied, "I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time." You don't have to wait for the end. I am here right now, resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? "Yes, Master. All along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world." After saying this, She went to her sister Mary and whispered in her ear, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran out to him. Jesus had not yet entered the town, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing friends saw Mary run off, they followed her, thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. Mary came to where Jesus was and fell at his feet, saying, "Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." All right, pause from the gospel. This is no longer John speaking, it's now me. I already said I was going to pause. She's right. Jesus could have kept Lazarus from dying, right? We believe that, I think. WWJD, let his friend die. That's what Jesus would do. Allow Mary and Martha to grieve. That's what Jesus did. And why? This is where it gets confusing. As we heard at the beginning of the gospel, Jesus says the sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. What would Jesus do? I don't think Jesus looks very good here. Jesus is seeking to be glorified by the death of his friend and the grieving of Mary and Martha. If I had a WWJD bracelet right now, I'd cut it off. Continuing on with the gospel. When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews sobbing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. He said, "Where did you put him?" "Master, come and see," they said. And now Jesus wept. The Jews said, "Look how deeply he loved him." Others among them said, "Well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of a blind man." Pause. You know what? They're right. I agree with them. Why did Jesus allow for pain and anguish if he could have stopped it? What would Jesus do? Allow for weeping and wailing and suffering, even for his friends. He doesn't even spare his friends from experiencing the death of their brother. And he does not spare himself from that pain either, does he? Even Jesus weeps. Even Jesus is angry at death here. Continuing on. Then Jesus, the anger again welling up within him, arrived at the tomb. It was a simple cave in the hillside with a slab of stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, "Master, by this time there's a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus looked her in the eye and he said, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Then to the others, "Go ahead and take away the stone." They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes towards heaven and prayed. "Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know that you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I have spoken so that they might believe that you have sent me." Then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And Lazarus came out, a cadaver, wrapped from head to toe with a kerchief on his face. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him loose." What would Jesus do? Jesus would raise his friend Lazarus from death to life so the crowd that is standing in front of the tomb might believe that Jesus was sent by God. So unless we're sent by God and are able to raise people from the dead, I think we might need a new catchphrase other than WWJD. Jesus was not just a rabbi, some famous moral philosopher of 2,000 years ago that lived in such a way as to make people 2,000 years later wearing bracelets reminding us to emulate his good works. He was not just a good public speaker that managed to get a cult following and make a bunch of religious leaders of his day angry. If we want to look at this Jesus as our moral compass, fine. But this just diminishes Jesus to a man and a man only. Not the Messiah, not God made incarnate, not the Son of God, but just a man. In a Jesus that is just a man, we might gain a lot of tips on how to live a moral life. Or, as we saw at the beginning of today's gospel, some bad tips on pastoral care. But we lose the ability to hope. We lose the true good news of the gospel. You see, I may have lied earlier just a little bit. Just a little lie. When I said there was no good news in the first 6 verses of today's gospel, there was good news there. I know it didn't sound like it when I stopped. But in verse 4, Jesus says, "This illness does not lead to death." Which to everyone who heard this and then saw Lazarus lying dead in the tomb, they may have thought Jesus was wrong. This clearly led to death. But through this sign, through Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus doesn't just tell us, he shows us that sickness, illness, and even death does not lead to death. Even death does not end in death. Lazarus is just the first believer that on account of Jesus is raised to new life. Death does not lead to death because we believe that Jesus was sent by God. We know that Jesus, to raise Lazarus, returned to Bethany in Judea, just a few miles from Jerusalem, where the authorities were set on killing him. We know that by raising Lazarus, Jesus deliberately sealed his own fate. From just a few verses later in John 11, from that day on, the authorities plotted to kill Jesus. Soon Jesus will return to Jerusalem. He will be unfairly tried, and he will be crucified. But as we know, this is not the end of Jesus' story, as we saw today, because death no longer ends in death. In Jesus, we don't have a mere example of someone to show us how to lead a moral life. In Jesus, we have hope, a hope that allows us to shout at death, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" In Jesus, we know that death does not have the final word. Not what would Jesus do, but what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? Jesus, in our pain and our suffering, in our weeping and in our grief, takes our hand and says, "Follow me. Follow me because I am the way, the truth, the resurrection, and the life." That is what Jesus does. And what can we possibly say to this other than thanks be to God? Amen.
Thank you.
confessing what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of our Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation.
You have breathed into us the breath of life. Enliven your church. Deepen our partnerships with our companion churches, both in this community and around the globe. And bless the work of missionaries who accompany them. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. You redeem the world and its peoples. Free us from systems of oppression. Unbind nations and societies from the sins of racism, sexism, and homophobia. Raise up leaders at all levels of government who work to promote the dignity of every human life. Merciful God,
your Spirit brings life to creation. Enliven the natural world and restore ecosystems in need of healing. Calm and restrain your creation, especially in California where the rain and snow continue to negatively impact the land and those in it, and in the South that have been devastated by the tornadoes. Walk with comfort, sustain, and provide for those impacted by natural disasters. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. You weep when we weep. Be present with those who grieve or who are troubled by illness, especially the family and friends of Rosie Brady, Carl, Joy, Stephanie, Jean, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Heidi, Kate, Bill, Kim, Katie, Deanne, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma, those that have been impacted by the tornadoes yesterday in the Deep South, those whose lives were ended, those whose lives were upended, those touched by and those that support First Lutheran's outreach ministries, and those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. You hear us when we call to you. Deliver us from the depths of our despair and free us from the worries that bind us. Merciful God,
your Spirit of life dwells in our assembly. Bless the music ministries of this congregation and all who lead us in hymns of praise and thanksgiving and in songs of lament and prayer. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, let all God's people say, Amen. And now, may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We now continue with our gifts and our offerings.
good gifts, receive these and all our offerings as we present them in faithful service for the sake of your gospel. Prepare our hearts to receive you in this meal as you pour out your very presence through Jesus Christ, the wellspring of eternal life. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn as we speak. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness and into the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for all to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us and bring us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love. And so, with your holy ones at all times and in all places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may this, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Embodied God, at your table we have tasted the goodness of Jesus. With the eyes of our hearts open to your promise, empower us to hear the needs of our neighbors and touch the world with your love. Amen.
So, I do have an update on the Holy Week services. So, before we get there, Wednesday, our last midweek Lent service here, 7 p.m. Next Sunday, 7 a.m. No, 7 a.m. I'm not getting up that early. 9:30 a.m. here for Palm Sunday. And then on Thursday, Maundy Thursday, is at St. Paul. St. Paul. Good Friday is at Trinity. Easter Vigil is at St. John's. We will have that printed in the bulletin next week as well. So those are all at 7 p.m. And then Sunday, Easter, I might have said 10 earlier. Well, correct me. 9:30. Correct me when I say dumb things. Thank you. And now receive this blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm on your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and always. Amen.